And if you feel a witness to that, that you need to go and encourage somebody and lift up somebody's hands, please do it. Please obey. Start this morning to be part of the body of Christ, anointed, used, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And we'll be teaching on being empowered by the Holy Spirit. So you'll learn maybe more and more that, or maybe affirmed, which you already know, how the Spirit works through us and empowers us and helps us. One more thing that I just felt the Spirit saying to me about this whole weekend is that I'm believing, and I believe he's saying that he wants to do something significant in someone's life or more than one this weekend, so significant that the community will hear and know, and they'll say, God is present in that church. Will you believe with me that that will happen? I'm saying that in faith. I have no idea what it could be or how many things it will be, but I'm believing God to do something significant that's going to spread out of these doors into the community. And I was thinking about this, you know, Powell River comes to my mind because we're so close to Powell River. When Bill and I, we not only grew up there, but we came back and pastored the church. And when we were there, we had a move of God, and it was rumored that the police on their radio phones, whatever they used in those days, would say to one another when they were trying to help a difficult person in the community, they'd say, well, why don't we just take them up to the Pentecostal church and let Bill Gibson take care of them? Because people get helped at that church. And, you know, it was a compliment. It was amazing. And I want that to happen for you. This is the place to come if you need help. I know it's not the only church in the community, but let's be full of the power of God, where signs and wonders happen often. Let's believe it. God bless.
Well, good morning. We are honored to be here in a town that bears our name, or we bear the name of the town. I don't know which way to say it, but anyways, we sometimes are asked wherever we go, are you Gibson from Gibson's? And we have to say, well, not really. And we don't know if there's a relationship there or not. But anyways, good to be here in the lovely Sunshine Coast. And I'd say amen to what my wife just said prophetically, that we're believing God to do something significant and wonderful, and that the outside community will know there's a God that lives here in this community, that this church will be a portal of heaven, that this is a place where heaven comes down and earth is changed and transformed. So we are delighted with your pastor and his wife giving us this invitation. A lot of churches aren't too interested in the Holy Spirit. They don't want some emphasis on him. You know, I believe that we need to preach the whole counsel of God, and that means sometimes we honor and focus and emphasize the Father, the Creator of all. Most of the time, we're emphasizing, praising, and worshiping the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is right and proper. And there needs to be time to be balanced to honor and focus upon the work and the dynamic ministry of the Holy Spirit. And that's what this weekend's about. And it was, of course, your pastor's been teaching on it and preaching on it for the last couple of weeks. Maybe you're tired about hearing about the Holy Spirit, but anyways, that's the emphasis. And we trust that the Lord will bless what he has laid upon our hearts with you today. Amen. Let me just say a little bit about these meetings. Elaine and I team up together when we do these special meetings. She's done her part this morning, but we'll put her to work tonight and tomorrow night. And there's three parts to our meetings, and the teaching part, which I do for the most part. And then I ask Elaine to give examples, to give illustrations of what we are teaching and from our ministry, her life, and so forth. And then a third component is the demonstration. We believe that when the Word of God is taught or preached, that it's not fully preached, not fully proclaimed, until there's signs and wonders and miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit. So in the evening services, that will be our focus, those three elements. And because of time constraints this morning, we don't do all three. But we encourage you to be out tonight. These are workshops on the Holy Spirit, time for personal ministry, prayer ministry, and we'll just see what the Lord will do. Plus, there'll be a time of training and instruction. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, this morning, the Lord has laid a burden upon my heart. You're the first church that I have preached this to. If it falls flat, it'll be the last church I'll preach it to. But I just believe that many people are afraid of the Holy Spirit. Because he's invisible, as is God himself, there's a fear, there's a worry, there's a concern. Yeah, your opening song this morning expressed that God is so great that he's unstoppable. Well, the Holy Spirit is that part that's unstoppable. Jesus said the Holy Spirit is like the wind. You can't stop the wind. I was out here on your waters last summer kayaking, and after that real hot spell changed at the end of summer, we were coming off of Keats Island over to your harbor here, and I've never encountered such fierce winds in all of our life, and my hat was trying to blow off, and I couldn't reach up to stop it. You can't stop the wind. By the way, we made it, but it took us an hour and a half to paddle back. We were going about one paddle forward and two back. And it was just. But anyways, the wind can make us fearful. The wind, as someone said, the wind is unpredictable. The Holy Spirit's unpredictable. And that's what bothers people. I believe that there are churches across the land that pray every Sunday, Holy Spirit, don't show up. Because you're unstoppable. Because you're unpredictable. And I can't be in control. If you're in control, and if you're changing things up, then where am I? And so there's a secret prayer, I believe, that is kind of silently prayed. Holy Spirit, we wish you wouldn't show up. Don't disturb things. Don't shake up the status quo. The Holy Spirit is incomprehensible. And we just as God, he is God, and God is past finding out. The Holy Spirit's incalculable. You can't tell if there's a gust coming now or if the wind will die back. It comes in spurts and starts. It comes when it shouldn't come, and it doesn't show up when it's supposed to show up. If you're a sailor, you will know that. Okay. And so the churches sometimes pray, Holy Spirit, we don't want you to send us a revival. We don't want you to get a hold of somebody's life so powerfully that they cause a disturbance. We want things nice and neat and tidy and in order. And when the wind's blowing, it isn't always like that. And so there's this fear of the Holy Spirit. And I've been so moved and stirred because of that fear, because I know what people are missing out. I know what the church is missing out when they do not allow the Holy Spirit to work and move as he should. And I've written a book, and I've spent the last 5 years, people ask me, what are you doing these days? Well, I've been writing night and day, and I've sent it to the publishers. It's been accepted, and they're working on the editing, but it's called Celestial Fire, 365 Days with the Spirit. And for 5 years, I have researched every reference to the Spirit in the Bible. I have spent sometimes weeks on just one verse, trying to unlock its meaning and praying over it and so forth. And so so I've just been so stirred that the church, I believe, and the people of God need to come to appreciate and value and esteem the Holy Spirit. He needs to be as respected as is Jesus and as is the Father. But the sad history of the church is that the Holy Spirit has been ignored. He's been neglected. He has been resisted. If you were to read your Bible, and in my study, I found that the great sin of the Old Testament and the great sin of the New Testament is that they have resisted the Holy Spirit. I believe the great sin of our age today is the resisting of the Holy Spirit. God speaks to us by the Spirit. Jesus makes himself known to us in a church by the Holy Spirit. It seems like anything that God wants to do on this earth, he does it by his Holy Spirit. And so we miss God and we miss Jesus if we ignore and disrespect the Holy Spirit and say to him, you're not welcome in this place. And so what the burden that the Lord has put on my heart today is just to take a glimpse from, I'm going to hit a few highlights in the book that I kind of seen maybe firsthand or something. And I just want to paint a picture this morning of what it would be like without the Spirit. If people really got their way and didn't have the Spirit show up, what would it be like? And so I believe the word for you this morning is listen. That keeps coming up. Listen. You might not agree with everything I say, but listen. And listen not just to me, but listen to what the Spirit is saying. That's what's really important. And so I'm going to start today with the first mention of the Spirit in the Bible. There would be no creation. We sang about creation in our worship time, but it would not have happened without the Holy Spirit. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But the very second verse of the Bible sets the tone, gives us the key, helps us to understand the rest of the Bible. When it says this, now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, in that desolate, chaotic stage of development was hovering over the waters. That's a beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit being like a mother bird watching its nestlings, and it's just stirring its wings and protecting it. It's supervising, it's superintending. Everything that happens, it's there to watch and protect and make sure it happens. And so that when God says, let there be, there's the Holy Spirit, invisible, incalculable, behind the scenes. But he's making things happen. He's bringing creation about according to the very will of Almighty God. The Spirit of God was over. This is a picture of, for every one of us, of what the Spirit does in our lives. Your life may be filled with chaos. You've been through a desert lately. You've been in darkness. You're wondering about where the fruitfulness is. Where's the sunshine in life? I want to tell you the Holy Spirit is there, hovering, protecting, supervising, mothering, caring. He's concerned about you and your chaos and your predicament. And he's wanting to you have your invitation. He's waiting for the word to come in and to stir and to make it happen, oh Lord. That's how the Bible opens. It opens with promise. It opens with all kinds of possibilities. It opens with, it doesn't matter what things are like at this moment. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is present and hovering and watching and supervising over you. Let him have his way in your life. Let me say this. If there is no Holy Spirit, then life itself would cease. In particular, the second reference to the Spirit in the Bible is a very dark chapter. It's Noah and the flood. And here's what God says, my Spirit will not contend with humans forever. And life is removed from the face of this earth other than what was in Noah's ark. Why is that? Because people in that society did not hearken to the leading, the conviction, the witness, the voice of the Spirit of God. And the very end of this age, it's going to be the same way as in the days of Noah. People are not going to be listening to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. They're going to secularize everything. They're going to get rid of God in every place that they can. We're living in a day and age where they're deconstructing marriage. Now they're deconstructing femininity. Now they're deconstructing masculinity. In the beginning, he made them male and female. And we're living in a day and age where everything is being torn apart philosophically and politically and legally. Where's the voice of the Spirit? And so I put up on the slide there a little picture of a cloth. The warp and the woof of a weaving is what we're talking about. And as you read your Bible, you will find that there are some beautiful, wonderful, bright strands that run through it. But parallel, not parallel, but across purposes to that, is you might be the woof part. There is these darker threads where you read of the darkest chapter in human history, Noah and his flood, because God gave up. There was no one left to listen and respond to the Holy Spirit. That's a sad picture. There's biblical examples of that thread running through the Bible. The first king of Israel, King Saul, for instance. He came with such brilliance. He came with such light. The Spirit of God rested upon him, made him powerful, made him wise, made him triumph over his enemies, gave him victory, gave him prominence. But then as the prophet Samuel speak to him, he began to resist and reject and refuse the voice of the Spirit through the prophet Samuel. And God said this, I'm taking the Spirit that I put upon you, Saul, and I'm going to put it upon someone else. And that led to his destruction. Read the book of Ezekiel, the first 11 chapters, as an illustration, is the removal, the withdrawal of the Holy Spirit from the sanctuary, the temple, the Holy of Holies, from the city. And when the Holy Spirit left the city of Jerusalem, the enemy came in. And another dark chapter in Israel's history from which they haven't recovered to this day. We call it the exile. These are the dark chapters that run through in human tragedy. Nothing ever good comes when the Holy Spirit is resisted and refused. And that's why Paul says to the churches, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not resist the Holy Spirit. Welcome him. Make him your friend. Honor him. Praise him. Glorify him. Let me say this. I don't know if there's any artists here, but I know somebody's got artistic ability. They're painting and cleaning up and all of that. The first time in the Bible that it ever mentions that someone is filled with the Spirit has to do with the arts. God found a fellow by the name of Bezalel, and he just put a spirit upon him in such a powerful way that he became gifted in everything that was artistic. Metalworking, jewelry, cloth, embroidery. The Spirit of God came upon him with wisdom and understanding, with knowledge, and God filled him with the Spirit. I want to say to you today, are there any songwriters here? Let the Spirit of God, the great creative force of this universe, come upon you and help you write the songs. Let the Spirit of God, who has the tunes of heaven, come and distill them into your soul so that you can sing a new song unto the Lord. The Bible never says sing an old song. I guess it's okay to. But it does tell us several times, sing a new song. When God is doing something new, sing a new song. When God has done something in your life, sing a new song. He fills us all with the Spirit. So we all become poets of the Spirit and can sing and prophesy and speak under the influence of heaven. Yeah, that's exciting, eh? But without the Holy Spirit, there wouldn't be any of that. None of that. Nor would there be any of the great leaders that we have grown up or we learn about from the Bible. There would not be such people as Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Deborah, David, and Daniel. These great leaders were all people, men and women, of the Spirit of God. The Spirit came upon them to help them do great things and lead people into victory and peace. Nor would we have the great prophets. We would not have had Samuel and Elijah and Elisha and Isaiah and Ezekiel and Anna the prophetess and John the Baptist. Nor would there have been any mighty apostles. There would not have been Peter and Paul and John and Julia. They just wouldn't exist. The Spirit raises up the individuals that are needed for the time.
I would also add to that, there would be no pastors either. That's right. Because pastors are a gift that Jesus Christ, because he's raised from the dead, sends. These are gifts of men and women that the Spirit comes upon to help lead in the community and lead in the place. I would also say this, there'd be no scripture. There'd be no word of God if there were no Holy Spirit. There would be no prophetic voice, and the people perish without a prophetic voice to tell them the mind and will of God. The Bible says this, for prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Paul said, all scripture is God-breathed. We wouldn't have it. What an influence the Bible has had on this world. The light, the illumination, the wisdom, the source of great treasures. But let me get a little more serious here this morning. I don't quite know how I should word this, and I want to be very correct in what I'm saying. But without the Holy Spirit, we would have no Jesus Christ. I never hear people preaching that, but the Bible says that. Now, the part I need to be careful about is, keep in mind, there's always been for eternity, co-equal with the Father, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But how is the second person of the Trinity, the eternal Son of God, going to become man? Be clothed in flesh. It happened because there was a virgin girl, a Jewish virgin girl, who said, be it unto me, God. And here's what the scripture says. The Holy Spirit shall come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. There's mystery in there. I can't explain that mystery, but I just want to point out this morning that the conception, the fathering of Jesus Christ was by the Holy Spirit. Conceived by the Spirit. That would never have happened. We've never had the Savior, never had the Messiah, never had the Lord Jesus. Always been the Son of God. But to redeem us, to identify with us, to come into our life, to rescue us, to identify with us, would never have happened until he took on your skin and your flesh and your bones. And that happened by the mighty work of the Holy Spirit. That was incalculable. I believe the devil never figured that out. He never figured out what the Holy Spirit was going to do or what God was going to do. Caught him by surprise. I need to go on. Jesus would never have been empowered to do all his miracles, nor say the mighty things that he did. Now, in some gospels, he's able to do this in his own might and his own power, such as in the Gospel of John. But in Luke's gospel, a different emphasis comes out. And Luke says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. Jesus lived his whole life in the power of the Spirit. He came and lived his life in the same way God has provided for us to live our life. Jesus didn't come with anything special. He laid all that special stuff in heaven, laid it aside, and came down and became a servant, became a man, and even died on the cross. But he lived his earthly life in the power of the Spirit. This is what God wanted to do for Adam and Eve in the garden if they had made the right choice. Fill them with the Spirit of God. And that is the great promise that awaits us when we go to heaven. We'll be filled with the presence of God and the fullness of God and eat of the tree of life. But Jesus was empowered. We would never be able to do a thing unless the same Spirit that rested upon Jesus Christ, if it didn't rest upon us. I'm telling you, these are huge things that shake up everything if we did not have the Holy Spirit. I hear myself saying, come, Holy Spirit. I need more of the Holy Spirit. Welcome you, Holy Spirit. Jesus said this, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news. Everything that Jesus said, every prisoner he released, every blind eye that he opened, he attributes it himself to the fulfilling of this scripture. This day, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. And he received the Spirit without measure. He received it in its ultimate. We receive a portion of it. Let me also tread on dangerous water here as well. There'd have been no benefits from the cross of Calvary. Jesus' death on the cross, I believe for the most part, would have been in vain if it were not for the work of the Holy Spirit. The Bible explicitly says this, how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we might serve the living God. That blood that was spilt on the ground on Calvary's hill was scooped up somehow by the Holy Spirit and presented to the Father spiritually so that your sin can be forgiven. It was eternal sacrifice. It is always there. It's going to be there all for all eternity. It has its effect. The reason there is power in the blood is because of Christ died an innocent person in our stead, but because the Holy Spirit took that same blood and presented it to the Father as an eternal, living, ever ongoing sacrifice for our sins. That's why we can walk in the presence of God. The blood is there to cleanse our consciences even and to cleanse us from every hindrance that you would have. Let me say this, there would be no Christians if it were not for the Holy Spirit. You cannot come to Christ without the Holy Spirit. You cannot understand the gospel without the Holy Spirit. You cannot be convicted without the Holy Spirit. You cannot be converted without the Holy Spirit. The Bible says this. Jesus actually says this. You must be born again. He said, verily, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of the Spirit. It's an absolute necessity. It's not enough just to say a couple of words. The couple of words that we say is because the Holy Spirit makes a revelation to us that he is Lord, Jesus is Lord. And when we confess that, when we have that realization, when it dawns on us, the Spirit infuses in us a new life. And we come to life spiritually. And our very first words are prophetic words. Jesus is Lord. No one can say that except by the Spirit. We all become prophets the moment we're born again. Oh, I know I'm out there in the limb, folks, but that's how I see it. Praise his name. Let me say this, no one's a Christian, no one is born again without the Holy Spirit, then it means that no one is capable of ever seeing the kingdom of God. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night one night and said, we know that no one can do these things unless they're from God. And Jesus said to him, you got to be born again if you're going to see what's going on in my miracles. If you're going to understand my power, if you want to see the kingdom of God, if you want to see heaven on earth, you want to see signs and wonders and miracles and the things that come down from heaven, then you have to be converted. You have to be born of the Spirit. The flesh gives birth to the flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. And in order to walk in the heavenly divine realm, we need to be born of the Spirit of God. Then we become the children of God. Then we come and before him face to face. People say, I never have an encounter with God. If you're born again, you're living. God's living in you. The Holy Spirit's in you. You're face to face with God. This is the new covenant of the Spirit, according to the word of God. Oh, I'm running. I told you there was a fire in me. I sat writing this book, and day after day, many days, I would just do what I'm doing now. The Spirit of God would come upon me, and I let my fingers fly over the keyboard as I would write under I won't call it inspiration, but certainly of the Holy Spirit, and to capture these thoughts. And to put them down. Elaine and I aren't going to be here forever. Although some already think we have been around a long time. But we want to get it down. And share what the Lord has put upon our hearts. I would say this, just two more things. That, like this, if without the Holy Spirit, there would have been no age of the Spirit. There'd have been no day of Pentecost. There were that day, that feast that never would have found its fulfillment except the Holy Spirit was poured out upon this earth. Because Acts chapter 2 verses 1 through 4 says this, when the day of Pentecost, and the English isn't right there, it had fully come is what the original is saying. This was the day of arrival. This was the day of fulfillment. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Friends, that initiated a new age. It's the age of the Spirit. And you just look at the book of Acts and everything that follows. It flows out of that one stunning, spectacular event. That would never have happened without the Holy Spirit. There'd have been no spirit age, no gifts of the Spirit, no charismata, no pneumatica, no expression of the life and nature of Jesus Christ being expressed in our lives. And let me just reiterate briefly here, without the Spirit, there is no Christ. There are no Christians, but there's also no church. Without the Spirit, there's no communion of the saints. The church is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But if there is no Holy Spirit, you can have the building, but nobody's home. Here's what Paul says. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? Yeah, let me say this. Without the Spirit, there's no comforter. There's no one to take the place of Jesus now that he's in heaven. There's no one to bring to remembrance the things that he taught. There's no one to teach us all the things that he left unsaid. It's a sad, sad state. And so I believe the Holy Spirit is not someone to fear, but someone to invite into our life, into our churches, into our communities, into society. Let him have his way. He is equal to the Father, equal to the Son. He's as glorious as the Father, as glorious as the Son. But the sin of the age has been to resist and to ignore and to pray that he doesn't show up. In conclusion, I want to say this. How does the Bible close with regards to the Spirit? There's over 22 references to the Spirit in the book of Revelation. It opens with us seeing the perfections of the Spirit in code language, symbolic language. He is the seven spirits before the throne. Seven takes on the symbolic meaning of perfection and completion. But there's something in Revelation that does not occur anywhere else in the Bible. It's like it's the parting words of Jesus Christ. He's in heaven speaking to the church through the Spirit. Seven times. When something is repeated twice, that's important. If you hear it three times, wow, really pay attention. But when it's seven times, and what is the phrase that you hear seven times in Revelation? It is this, hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. The word this morning is listen. Listen. You may disagree with some of my ways of putting things or saying things, but listen. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Sometimes the church has been arrogant and said that only what it says is true. But the church wasn't very right when it told us there was no Pentecost. There was no baptism in the Holy Spirit. There was no fullness of God. The church wasn't right. The theologians weren't right. Yeah. This Bible doesn't come alive until the Holy Spirit opens it to our understanding. And so, you know, the Bible doesn't close with listen to the church or listen to great preachers. No, listen. Listen. To the Spirit. Listen to that inner voice. Listen to the prophetic voice. Discern it as if it's, whether it's from God or not. Yeah. You see, the reason some are afraid of the Holy Spirit is they might have to change their theology. That's right. Denominations don't want to listen always to the Holy Spirit because they may have to change their practices. Yeah. 40 years after John died, the church had already begun to be institutionalized. And the leaders of those churches, they were called bishops, overseers, they made a bold stand and they forbade prophecy. 40 years after Jesus says, churches, every church in every age, hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Listen. Hear him. It's by listening to him that we know that this is the Word of God. It's by listening to him that we know that Jesus is the Son of God. It's by listening to him we know the teachings of God. I close with a big idea today, and it's this. Every church's destiny rests with its response to the Holy Spirit. Every church's destiny rests with its response to the Holy Spirit. I could personalize that and also say this. Every person's eternal destiny rests with his or her response to the Holy Spirit. I can go further than that. I could say this, that every society's destiny rests with its response to the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Oh God, oh God, when you want to speak, you've raised up a prophet to speak under the influence of the Holy Spirit so that his or her words are the words of God, your words. Jesus, when you want to make yourself real to us and speak to us today, you do it through your Spirit that you poured out upon us so that we can hear your voice and we can get your coaching and your direction for life. You're not silent, Lord. You want to walk with us in the cool of the evening along these beautiful shores of the Sunshine Coast. You want to speak to us, but when you do, you always do it through your Spirit. Help us, O Lord, to be people of the Spirit. We can never, ever have too much of the Spirit. We can always have too little. And I pray today, Lord, as we have tuned an ear, let us hear what the Spirit is saying to the church in 2018. Amen. 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 Oh, Pastor.